Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin, daf Lama Gimel. We left off daf Lama Beis, Amud Beis, probably about three quarters of the way down the Amud. We are at Gufa. It's probably about 12, 15 lines before the end of the Amud. The first word on the line is Mimkoma. We're going to begin with the second word on the line, Gufa. First of all, today's shiur is sponsored again, L'schus HaRefuah Shleimah for Mordechai Yaakov ben Esther, who needs refuah and Yeshua. So today's learning should be a schus for refuah for him, as well as the other Chole Yisrael. We are going to discuss primarily two topics today. First of all, yesterday, you may recall, we discussed the idea of what happens if a person is mid-shechita. So if a person already shechted the kana, or he already shechted the trachea, and after he shechts the trachea, the lung develops a puncture. So usually when the lung is punctured, it causes the animal to become a trepha. However, over here yesterday, we were introduced to the concept that if you've already shechted the trachea and then the lung develops a puncture, the animal is going to be kosher. It's not going to be a trepha. Why? Because we view the lung as if it's in a basket outside the animal. What does that mean? It means that the lung is connected to the trachea because they're both vital to the animal's ability to breathe. Once the trachea is sliced through anyway, once the trachea is shechted through, the animal can't breathe anyway, so it doesn't really make a difference what happens to the lung. So that's a concept that we saw. That's a concept that we saw yesterday. Today we are going to build on that. We're going to ask, okay, so now you've told me about what happens if the lung develops a puncture after I shech the trachea. What happens if the intestines develop a puncture, which is also cause for trephus in an animal? What happens if the intestines develop a puncture after I shech the esophagus? Do we say that just like the lungs are dependent on the trachea, they work together, so too the intestines are dependent on the esophagus? Or do we say no? And we'll see, it really may depend on which order you're shechting the simanim in, and we're going to see a Rashi which says ordinarily you would shech the kana first before the veshet. So the point is, at the time when you're mitshchita, if the intestines would develop a puncture, the simen that would be shayach to the intestines would still be whole, because you would ordinarily start with the trachea before you ultimately get to the esophagus. But we're going to talk a lot about that topic. We're going to talk about why it is that when you're mid-shechita, if a puncture develops in the lung, the animal is not a trepha. Is it because we really view the lung as in a basket outside the animal and we view it as if it's not there anymore? Or is it simply that the only animal that's eligible to become a trepha is an animal which is otherwise in good health and able to live? And an animal which finds itself in the middle of being shechted is obviously not able to live. Does it have enough kamina regarding an animal that is pregnant, where the fetus sticks a limb outside the animal? What's the status of that limb? Then we're going to talk about what happens if you have an animal which is in the throes of death, but has already had a valid shechita. So it's already had a kosher shechita, but the animal is still mifarkeses. So is a goy able to eat from that animal? So a Jew is able to eat from that animal because a Jew is able to eat from an animal that had a valid shechita. A guy where it's not totally on shechita, but rather totally on misa, may not be able to eat from that animal. So we'll see that. Then we'll get to a Mishnah on Daf Lama Gimel Lamed Aleph. And when we get to the Mishnah, things calm down a little bit. It gets a little bit easier to understand. And the Mishnah is going to tell us about a case of what happens where a guy shechs an animal or a bird and no blood comes out from the bird or from the animal. So do we assume that the animal previously died? What's the status of the animal? Lagabe hechsher lekabel tuma. Ordinarily, food is only mukshar lekabel tuma when it comes into contact with one of the Zion Mashkin, one of which of the Zion Mashkin is blood. What happens if there is no blood that comes out of the animal, though? So is it mukshar lekabel tuma? Is it not? What's the difference? Because ordinarily, we're talking about an animal that's chulin and you're allowed to eat chulin betumah. There's no law that you have to eat chulin betara. So we'll see a number of answers as to what the possible difference could be, or what's the practical effect of whether the animal is mukshar lekabel tumah or not. So again, we left off lamed beis amed beis. It is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. Gufa, second word on the line. So says the Gemara, Gufa, Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakesh, it says Reish Lakesh, Shachat es Hakana. Again, this is a case where the guy shechts the trachea, V'yachar kach nikva hareya, and after that, the lung develops a puncture. Kshera, the shechita is going to be kosher, the animal is not going to be a trefa. So Amar Rava, so says Rava, Lo Amar Rav Shimon ben Lakesh, Ela bereya, Rav Shimon ben Lakesh says his halacha only by the lung, Ho v'chaye reya, toli bekana, because the vitality of the lung is dependent on the vitality of the trachea. Once you shechted the trachea anyway, the lung is ineffective, it's incapable of doing what it's supposed to do, and therefore, even if the lung develops a puncture, it is not a problem, it is not going to lead to the animal becoming a trefa. Aval bivne ma'ayin lo, however, by the intestines, that's not the case. What does it mean by the intestines, it's not the case? So Rashi helps us out. It's about 5-6 lines before the lines begin to get wide. Sim nakvu bivne ma'ayin ben kana lavashet, if the intestines developed a puncture after you shechted the trachea, but before you shechted the esophagus, after you've shechted the trachea, trefa, it is going to be a trefa. Why? Because the vitality, the effectiveness of the intestines is not totally on the kana, not totally on the trachea, which you've already shechted. It's totally on the veshet, which you haven't yet shechted yet. So the concept of I'm going to view the lung as if it's in a basket outside the animal because it's not effective anyway, that's only shayich to the lung. It's not shayich to the intestines because the intestines are in fact not dependent on the trachea. They're dependent on the esophagus. And Rashi now points out what Rashi sort of makes explicit while we might be wondering, which is why do we assume that you shechted the trachea first, and therefore when the intestines develop a puncture, they're not impacted by that which is shechted already. Maybe you started with the esophagus, in which case if you started with the esophagus and then the intestines develop a puncture, should have the same halach as before, because the intestines without the esophagus don't do anything, so maybe we should view the intestines now as if they're placed in a basket. So Rashi says, Liolam derech kana li shechet chilu lefishu samach la'or vaveshet samach lemeferakis. Well, ordinarily speaking, in the derech olam, the derech hashchita is that you would check the trachea before the esophagus, because the trachea is what comes first, it's near the skin, and the esophagus is in the back, right near the spinal cord. So ordinarily, you're shechting the trachea first. So again, the halacha that we saw yesterday, that if the animal develops a simone trefa in the lung after the trachea is shechted, that only applies by the trachea, it does not apply by the esophagus. The Achronim have a debate, so the ordinary way to shecht is if you shecht the trachea first. What happens if you shechted the esophagus first and then the intestines developed a puncture? So ordinarily it would cause the animal to become a trefa. But here you've already shechted the simen, and that's connected to the thing, that to the organ that's now becoming a trefa. So maybe it's not a trefa, but let's push it in the Gemara. You're shechting the trachea first. Therefore, if a puncture develops in the lung, not a problem. If a puncture develops in the intestines, yes, a problem, because they're not dependent on the trachea. So says the Gemara, Maskifla Rabbi Zeira. So Frekt Rabbi Zeira. Me'achar shenolduba simoni trefa hitarta. Hang on a second. You said that if you shechted the trachea and then the lung develops a puncture, not a problem. So you're obviously ignoring simone trefa. You don't care that there's a simon trefa. So if you're going to ignore the simon trefa, mali bereya, mali bivne ma'ayim. So what's the difference? If it's in the lung or if it's in the intestine? Meaning that according to Rabbi Zeira's thought process now, the reason that the animal is not a trefa in the case of the punctured lung is not because we view the lung as if it's outside the animal. It's not as if we view the lung as if it's placed in a basket outside the animal because it's connected to the trachea anyway. What Rav Zeira is assuming now is that the reason that the animal can't become a trefa is because the only animal that's eligible to become a trefa is an animal that otherwise would have been capable of living. This animal is not capable of living because you shechted one of its simonim. You shechted already the windpipe. Now, is it dafka that I shechted the windpipe? Lav dafka. No matter what happens with the animal, no matter what the simon trefa is, according to Rav Zeira, according to where Rav Zeira is holding now, it shouldn't make a difference what organ develops the siman treifa, because the hallmark of an animal that could become a treifa is an animal that's otherwise capable of living. This animal is incapable of living. Now observes the Gemara, v'hadar bei Rab Zeira, but Rab Zeira recanted, he retracted this view, and ultimately he agrees that it's totally on the concept of the lung being placed in a basket, as it were, and being outside the animal. Why? How do we know that Rab Zeira retracted? The boy Rab Zeira, because Rab Zeira asked the following kasha. Nikvu b'nei ma'ayim b'in simen l'simen mahu. What happens if the intestines develop a puncture between one simen and the next? What's the halacha? So mi mitstarfi simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tara midei nevela. Oh, lo. Can the shchita of one simen be mitstarev to the shchita of the second simen to be mitaret from nevela or not? So what does this mean? So Rashi explains to us what this means. It's about halfway down in the medium-sized lines of Rashi. That mi mitstarev simen rishon l'simen sheni l'tara midei nevela. So mi armin and simen rishon nishchat l'beis devarim. When you shecht an animal, there are two purposes when you're shechting the first simen. L'heter achila. Number one is that it's supposed to be matar l'achila because you're doing a kasher shechita. Ulatara midei nevela. And also it's coming to be mitaret from a nevela because a nevela is an animal that dies without a shechita. What you're doing is you're shechting it. Now, the simen sheni, however, let's say now the animal develops a simen treifa in between the shechita of the simanim, when you're shechting the second simen, lo bala tira b'achila, it can't be coming to permit it for eating. Why? Sharei nitrafa. Because the animal developed a treifas in between the shechita of the simanim. Ela letara. What it is effective to do, though, is maybe it's effective to be metarit midei nevela. V'chivan dein and shavin, however, because the impact of the shechita of the two simonim is not equal, because the shechita of the first simon has the heter achila and the tara midei nevela, whereas the shechita of the second simon only has the tara midei nevela, ain shechita sa mitstarfos, maybe, therefore, the shechita is not mitstarev. The afagav the simon rishon la tara midei nevela nami nishchetu, even though the simon rishon also, in part, was to be mitara midei nevela, Odilma, kiva derishon, af letara midei nevela nishchad mitstarfa l'sheni. Or maybe, since, after all, the first simon was also to be mitar from nevela, it can be mitstarev with the shechita of the second simon. So the question is, when you have this animal that developed a simen treifa in the middle of the shechita, can the finishing off of the shechita serve to be metaret from an nevela status? Or is it going to have an nevela status? Because an nevela is an animal that didn't have a kosher shechita. This didn't have a valid shechita anyway because the animal can't be eaten. And if the animal can't be eaten, maybe it's not a valid shechita. That's the question. And now the raya is, v'amrinan, and we say, lav hainu deboi yilfa, isn't this the case that Ilfa said? So hotzi uber es yado ben simen l'simen. So over here we're talking about a case where an animal is pregnant and the fetus of the animal mid shechita of the mother sticks out its foreleg from the womb of the mother. So the guy is shechting an animal that's pregnant and the fetus sticks out its foreleg during the shechita. And Rashi helps us out again, and Rashi says that this case of Ilfa is talking about an uber that it's ordinarily speaking, to back up, Rashi says uber niter b'shchita simo, that ordinarily speaking, if you shecht a mother animal and there's a baby in the womb, the baby can be eaten even without a kasher shchita, agav the shchita of the mother. Aval hotzi yodo kodem shchita, but if the fetus sticks out its foreleg before the shchita or during the shchita, aminan osam dioso aver din treifa shchuta yeshlo. That has the din of a treifa. That aver of the baby has the din of a treifa. Shena matame demahaniyale shchita letaro, that the shchita helps to be matired, but it can't be eaten. The tanan osam shachat asimu v'achaka chotcha maga nevela. Okay, so it's definitely tameh. The kaboy ilfa hotzi uber es yado ben simen l'simen mahu. What happens if the uber, if the fetus sticks out its foreleg in the middle of the shechita? Mahu simen risha nishchat lahatir ulatara v'simen sheni loba laoso aver ela latair. So we have the same kasha about the shechita, because once the animal sticks out the foreleg, once the fetus sticks out the foreleg during shechita, that aver can definitely not be eaten. The question is, does the shechita have the ability to be mitar the eiver or not? And that depends on, can we be mitzarif the shechita of the two simonim? The first simon, when it was shechted, it would have had the ability not only to be mitar at midei nevela, but also lahatir la'achila. The second simon, when you're shechting it, legabe the eiver that's outside the animal, which is already has a din of a trefa, so it can't be eaten. The question is, does it at least make it not tameh? Does it at least matar it? Because that shechita of the second simon doesn't have the ability to be matarit la'achila, but it might have the ability to be matar it. So that's the question of ilfa. So mau. So what's the halacha? So says the Gemara, turning over to Lama Gimel Laman Aleph, mi mitstarev simon rishon, le mi mitstarev simon rishon le simon sheni, le tare midei nevela olo. Can the shechita of the first simon combine with the shechita of the second simon to be metarit midei nevela or not? So says the Gemara, ad kan loi bailan ela tar midei nevela. What's the whole kasha? The whole kasha is the shechita effective? Do we even pay attention to the shechita of the second simon to be metarit midei nevela? Or do we say the shechita is totally ineffective and when an animal dies without an effective shechita, it's called an nevela? So that's the question. Is it a valid shechita to prevent it from attaining the status of an nevela? Avo ba'achila asura. But it's certainly usur liachila. And Rashi points out that what we assume is mechlal de pshita le de itrafa ben akiva de beni beni. That whether it's the lung that's punctured or whether it's the intestines that are punctured, it's definitely usur to eat. Now, why would it be usur to eat? It would be usur to eat because the animal's a trefa. I thought you told me the only time the animal is a trefa is, I thought you told me the only time the animal is a tre, the only time the animal is not a trefa is when the lung was punctured in between the shechita. But if the esophagus was punctured in between the shechita, then it would be a trefa. But over here, what we're assuming is it's definitely usur la'achila. And why would it be usur la'achila? It would be usur la'achila if we assume that the only time an animal could become a trefa at all, no matter what its simen trefa is when it's otherwise able to live. This animal isn't otherwise able to live because it's in the process of being slaughtered. Therefore, it wouldn't be a trefa at all. So says the Gemara, Amar le Ravacha bar Rav Ravina, but says Ravacha bar Rav to Ravina, Dilma liolam lo adarbe. Maybe Rav Zera didn't retract what he initially said. Rav Zera ledvarav l'rava kamar v'le lo sfirale. And Rav Zera is talking in accordance with what Rav holds, but he doesn't hold from him. And he doesn't hold from that shita. And Rashi explains, Avir ledvarav the Rava, d'yamar le'el lo amareish lakesh ela bereya. Avol b'bnei ma'ayin trefa. So Rav is the one who said that the only time it's not a trefa is if the lung is punctured. But if the intestines are punctured, then it's a trefa. So Rav Zera is asking, oh, you hold it's a trefa if the intestines are punctured and not the lung, but is it also considered a nevela? But maybe Rav Zera holds that Rav Zera holds is not a trefa in either case, because according to Rav Zera, it's not dependent on the concept of the lung being viewed as having already been removed from the body of the animal. It's based on the concept that the only animal that's capable of becoming a trefa fundamentally is an animal that's able to live. This animal isn't able to live. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Shema Mino, Amid Rav Shimon ben Lakesh. So it's apparent from the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Lakesh that Mizamnin Yisrael al Bnei Ma'ayim, that you are able to invite a Jewish person to eat Bnei Ma'ayim, intestines of an animal that were removed from the animal immediately after the shechita, when the animal is still threshing about immediately after the shechita. Vein mezamnin ovdei kochavim al b'nei ma'ayin. However, you're not allowed to invite akam, you're not allowed to invite goyim to partake of the b'nei ma'ayin. And the reason is because by a goy, the ability of the goy to eat the meat is totally on the animal being dead. Now, once the animal's had a shechita, if it's still thrashing around, if it's still being mefarkeses, it is shechted, but it's not yet considered as if it's dead. So it turns out it would be mutter for the Jew to eat the intestines, but not for a goy. Now, the Gemara uses the word mezamnin because it's only usher to give the goy to eat the intestines. Of course, you're allowed to give the goy Normal people, the Mefarshim explain, normal people don't eat intestines. They feed them to dogs. So you're allowed to give the intestines to a guy to feed to his dog because there's no Isser Hanah. There is an Isser Achila for a guy. So that's what we learned from Rish Lakish, that you're allowed to invite a Jew to eat the intestines of a shechted animal, but not a guy. So my time, Yisrael de b'shchita tal yemilsa, because a Jew is able to eat meat once it's shechted. Kivan di k'shchita mal yaseh ishrilu, once there's a valid shchita, even if the animal is being mefarkeses, it is not a problem. Ovid kochavim de b'nechira sagilu, uvemisa tal yemilsa. However, by a guy doesn't have a halach of shchita. By a guy, the only prerequisite is that the animal be killed. This animal is not considered dead because it's still thrashing around. Havi ani kever menachai damu. So it's considered to be like aver menachai. So says the Gemara. Amra papa v'yasivna kameid Rav Acha bar Yaakov uboy deimale. I was sitting before Rav Acha bar Yaakov and I was very bothered and I was about to say to him, mi kamidi dili Yisrael shari lov de kachavim aser. How's it possible that there's something that it's permitted for a Jew to do, but not permitted for a guy to do? We go through life seeing that the goyim could do whatever they want. They have sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Okay, but they could do everything else. Jewish people have 613 mitzvahs that they have to abide by. Now you're going to tell me that a Jew is allowed to eat the intestines of an animal that's been shechted, but a guy can't? So I just intellectually had a problem with this rule. Velo amri le, but I didn't say anything to him. Damina hataima kamar, because the truth is he gave a valid rationale. In other words, I thought conceptually it doesn't make sense that a Jew should be mutter and something and a guy should be yasser. But he explained to me why it's the case. The Jew is mutter because by the Jew it's tolly on shchita. By the guy it's yasser because by the guy it's tolly on misa. And this animal is not considered to be, is not considered to have died already. It's not considered to be dead. Okay. So says the Gemara, Viter. Now it happens to be that, we'll come back to the Tosos in a minute. So says the Gemara, Viter. So Tanya, Deloka, Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So we have a Braisa that's not like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. If you want to eat from an animal before it's considered to be dead, Chotek, Kazayas Basar, Mebesa Shchita, you should cut a Kazayas Basar from the Besa Shchita, literally right after you did the Shchita. Yafa, you have to salt it a lot because there's a lot of blood right by the base of shechita. Umadicha yafa yafa, and you have to rinse it very well again because there's a lot of blood right by the base of shechita. There's nisur di blood. Umamtin la achetetei nafsha, and you have to wait until the animal stops thrashing around. And you're allowed to then eat it, and that is mutter for both an Ovid Kachavim and a Yisrael. And this is a riot, Rav Yitzchak Barashion, Harotza Sheyavri. If a person wants to be very healthy, he should cut a Kazayas of meat from the Beis HaShechita right after the Shechita. Shalbeimo, Molcho Yafa Yafa, Madicho Yafa Yafa, Umamtin La Ad Shetese Nafsha, and he should wait until it dies. Echad ovik hachavim vechad Yisrael mutarimba. And then both a guy and a Jew are able to eat it. And Rashi points out when we say echad ovik hachavim v'lor minim b'misa tal yamil savav evar menachay l'gabayu v'haynu d'lo karaviyacha. Now what happened was you sliced the meat off of the beis hashchita right after it was shechted, but before the animal stopped thrashing around. And what we said was that you're allowed to give it both to a Jew and to a guy. So it's mashma that the guy is allowed to eat from meat that was taken from the animal even before the animal stopped moving. Before the animal stops moving, it's still considered to be alive because it's being mefarkeses a little bit. So we see that even by a guy, the guy is allowed to eat from the meat once it's had a kosher shechita, even if the meat was then removed from the animal right after the kosher shechita and before the animal stopped before the animal stopped thrashing around. Tosfos of here just points out that what we had said earlier, that that it's not shayich that a goy should be usher in something and a Jew should be mutter in something. Tosfos says that theory is not universal. That, yet, generally speaking, there shouldn't be an isser that applies to a goy and not to a Jew. But we see a lot that sometimes if somebody does do an isser, then the punishment for a goy would be more stringent than the punishment for a Jew, because, and that says Tosfos, is not on account of any sort of relative level of holiness. It's because we don't want to kill Jewish people, and we don't feel as badly, I mean, recording, you know, whatever, but we don't feel as badly about killing Goyim, but we feel much worse about killing Jewish people. And then the Tosfos here, which we don't have time for, tries to get into, well, there are some cases where a Goy is obviously punished when a Jew isn't punished. For example, Goy Shavas Chayev Misa, a Jew who's not Shavas is Chayev. A Jew obviously has to be Shavas on Shabbos. So Tosfos tries to work all of this out. Okay, so this was the hard part of the daf. Now it gets a little bit easier. So says the Mishnah, Hashochet Behema Chayev Of. If a person shechts an animal or a bird, V'loyotza Me'am Dam Ksherim, and no blood comes out of the animal when you shecht it, it's kosher. We don't assume that the animal died previously, and that's why there's no blood that's coming out. And they could be eaten with hands that are dirty, in other words, hands that are tameh, because they're not going to make the food tameh, because food can only become tameh when it's been hukshar l'kabel tumah, when it's come into contact with a zayin mashkin, and the zayin mashkin includes blood, because there was never a hukshar l'kabel tumah. There was never a hekshar l'kabel tumah over here with the blood, because there is no blood. Reb Shimon Omer hukshar b'shchita. Reb Shimon argues, and Reb Shimon says no, that it's hukshar l'kabel tumah already with the shchita. And what does that mean? So Rashi explains, migu d'shar yeshchita l'ach basar mide ever menachai mashver l'nami uchla l'gabe tumah. Hekshar l'kabel tumah gives something status as an ochel in order to be tameh. And says Rashi that what Rav Shimon is saying here is, you know what else gives something the status as ochel? Shchita gives something the status as ochel. Because before it shechted, it's Eivor Menachai, it's usher to eat. After it shechted, it's mutter to eat. Therefore, the shchita itself is as if it's machshir the meat l'kabel tumah, because it confers on the meat the status of ochel. Says the Gemara now. Sataima d'loyatsa me'am dam. The reason that you're allowed to eat the meat with hands that are unclean, with hands that are tamei, is because no blood came out of the animal. However, if blood did come out of the animal, then they would not be able to be eaten with unclean hands. Amai, but why is that the case? Yadayim shniosim, hands, tumah. So midaraisa, there's no such thing as tumah on hands. Midaraisa, either your whole body is tameh or your whole body is tar. There's no such a partial tumah. The Rabbanan made a gzera that yadayim are shnios, that if you haven't watched where your hands have been and you haven't watched what your hands have touched, then midrabanan, your yadayim have the status of a sheni l'tumah. But the halacha is by tumah, vein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. A sheni cannot make a shlishi by chulin. And the halacha is that if you have something which is tameh of a certain status, and that item and that which is tameh touches another item, it usually confers one rung lower on the ladder of tumah. Now, if you have yadayim which are a sheni and they're going to touch meat, the meat's going to become a shlishi. But if the meat's chulin, it doesn't matter if the meat becomes a shlishi. The meat can't become a shlishi by chulin. So says the Gemara, how do we know that that we're talking about chulin? Maybe we're talking about kachim, and kachim can become a shlishi. Says the Gemara, diktani chaya, because it says in the Mishnah that the case is a shochet behema chaya v'of. One of the animals that you're shechting is a chaya, and what do we know about a chaya? Dilu kachim chaya b'kachim mi'ika. None of the karbanos come from a chaya. They all come from either a behema or an oaf. And if you're going to tell me that we're dealing in the Mishnah with a case where the guy is shechting a chaya, Obviously, we're not talking about Kachrim. We have to be talking about Chulin. So again, the question returns, if we're talking about Chulin, why do I care if I eat the meat with unclean hands? The unclean hands are a Sheni, and a Sheni can't make a Shlishi by Chulin. Says the Gemara, Vesu, Iba Kachim, and another raya that we're not talking about Kachim, Kilo Yatsa Me'am Dam Ksheira. Is it really true what we said in the Mishnah that if you shecht an animal for a korban and no blood comes out of the animal, then it's going to be kosher? Hu Atzmo L'damu Tzarech. The whole point of the korban is for the Zrika. The Zrika is what's matir, the rest of the korban, L'achila. So you can't tell me that I'm shechting a korban, no blood comes out, good, it's a valid korban. It's not good. I can't do a Zrika. Vesu Iba Kachim, Ki Yatsa Me'am Dam Mi'machshir. Also, what we had assumed was that if there is no blood that comes out of the animal, it's not mukshar l'kabel tuma because it never came into contact with liquid. But the implication is that had blood come out of the neck of the animal when you shechted the animal, it would be mukshar l'kabel tuma. But is blood of an animal that's kachim, is blood of a korban actually mukshar l'kabel tuma? It's not. Why? V'yamar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, minayim l'dam kachim sheina makshir. How do we know that dam kachim is not makshir? Shenemar ala oretz tishpechenu kamayim. Because the only type of blood that's makshir is blood which is spilled on the ground. Dam shenifshach kamayim machshir. The dam which is spilled on the ground is machshir. Sheina nishpach kamayim ain't a machshir. Blood which is not spilled on the ground, like blood of a korban, which is received in a kli and then sprinkled on the mizbeach, is not going to be machshir. So what we have to deal with is by the blood of a chaya or by the blood of an oaf, where there is a mitzvah of kisei adam. Also, l'chora shouldn't have the status of dam shenishpach kamayim, because dam shenishpach kamayim just means, wherever it goes. But that's not the case by a chaya or by an oaf. Even by chulin, there's a mitzvah of kisei adam. So what we have to say is that, no, so long as there's no requirement to accept it in a kli, it's considered to be dam shenishpach kamayim. In other words, by the blood of a chulin animal, even if there's a mitzvah of kisei adam, I don't care where the blood goes, I just have to cover it. So that's therefore still would have the power to be machshirit l'kabel tuma. The Gemara now has another raya that we're not talking about kachim. Vesu, five lines up from the bottom. Vesu, iba kachim, ki lo yotza me'am dam lo michshiri. Now, is it really true that if no blood comes out, the food would not be mukshar l'kabel tuma? This kashri b'chibas hakodesh, the kaimelon chibas hakodesh machshartan. That the chibas hakodesh, the chibas hakodesh, the heightened kedusha and the attachment that one has to that is enough to confer the status of ochel on this, and also to render it susceptible to being makabel tuma. So says the Gemara. You're right. We're obviously not talking about kodesh. You had your four or five reasons why we can't be talking about kachim. We're talking about chulin. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu, Acha b'chulin shlochem b'kesef meiser askinan. We're talking about chulin, which were purchased with kesef of meiser sheni. Udalok Rav Meir, and we're not holding like Rav Meir. So again, the halacha by Meiser Sheni is that you have to bring Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. It has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. If you have a lot of Meiser Sheni produce, it's a pain in the neck to bring it to Yerushalayim. You could transfer the kedusha of the Meiser Sheni onto money, bring the money to Yerushalayim, and then buy whatever you want with the money. So we're talking now about food, chulin, that was bought with the money that had the kedusha of Meiser Sheni, not like Rav Meir. Why not like Rav Meir? So we'll see as soon as we flip the page. The Tanan, onto Lama Gimel Lama Beis, Kolaton, B'yes Mayim, Medivrei Sofrin, anything that's Tamei Medirabanan, Metame es hakodesh, it's metame that which is kodesh, uposel es hatruma, and pasels truma, umutter bechulin, ubemeiser, dibber Rameyer, and Rameyer says it's mutter by chulin and by meiser, the chachamim osrum bemeiser, but the chachamim say that by meiser it's usser. So we could be holding like the Chachamim, who say that food which is bought from Meiser has epis a status of Meiser, you can't make it Tameh, and therefore when we're talking about eating the meat with unclean hands, it's not Kachim, But it's also not really chulin. It's chulin that was bought with kesef of Ma'aser Sheni, according to the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, Samaskef Rav Simi Barashi, Mimai, how do we know that? Dilma Adkan lo pligi Rabbanan ledra meyer elabachila. Elabachilas Meiser. Maybe the Rabbanan only argue on Rameyer about Achilas Meiser, about actually eating Meiser in a state of Tuma. Aval benegia de Meiser, however, by negia of Meiser, by simply touching Meiser, vaachila de Chulin, or by achila of Chulin, lo pligi. Maybe they wouldn't argue. Va negia he. And over here, we're not dealing with we're not talking about actually eating. We're just talking about touching. How do we know that? Midiktani nechalin biyadayim misuavos. It says they could be eaten with unclean hands. And now the Gemara is going to explain what we mean when we said that in the Mishnah. Milo askinan dekasafi lechavre. Aren't we talking about a situation where the guy's friend, where the guy who was tamei didn't take anything to eat. It was his friend who was force-feeding him and stuffing things into his mouth. So maybe the only time the Chachamim argue on Rav Meir is when it comes to the guy who's tamei himself eating. Over here, we're not even talking about where the guy who's tamei himself eating. So how do you know that he argues on Rav Meir? So again, it's so maybe we can't say that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim over there. So says the Gemara, Elamara Papa Acha Biyadayim Tchilas Askinan. We're not talking about Yadayim which are Shnios Latuma. Because you're right, we're talking about Chulin. And if the Yadayim were Shnios Latuma, wouldn't be a problem, because a Sheni can't make a Shlishi by Chulin. We're talking about Yadayim which are a Rishon Latuma. That's what Tchilos means. So it's Yadayim which are a Rishon, which are a Rishon Latuma, Reb Shimon Elazari, and it's Reb Shimon Elazar, D'Tanya. Ein Yadayim Tchilas Uchulin, because the Tanakhama says that there is no such thing as Yadayim having the status of Rishon Lutoma by Chulin. Reb Shimon Elazar, or Mimishim Reb Meir, Yadayim Tchilos Lechulin. Reb Shimon Elazar says, no, the Yadayim can be Tchilos, can be a Rishon Lutoma Lagabe Chulin. Vishnios Lutruma. And they have the status of Sheni Lutoma Lagabe Truma. So it says the Gemara, Tchilas L'chulin in L'truma lo. What does it mean? That they have the status of a Rishon only when it comes to Chulin, but not when it comes to Truma? That doesn't make sense. Either the Yadayim should be able to have the status of a Rishon regardless in any situation, or Yadayim should never have the ability to become a Rishon. What does it mean that they become a Rishon for Chulin and not for Truma? So says the Gemara, no, you're misunderstanding what we mean. It means Tchilos af lechulin, they can become tchilos or rishon even for chulin, but certainly for truma. Shnios, also yadayim have the status of shnios, but that's only lechuma in lechulin lo. That only makes a difference by truma, not by chulin. Why? Because a sheni can't make a shlishi by chulin. So again, we're talking about a case where the yadayim, that your hands don't have the status of a sheni latuma, it has the status of a rishon latuma. A rishon can make a sheni. That's why we're afraid if you eat this meat with unclean hands, even by chulin, because it would be susceptible to becoming tamei. So says the Gemara, Mika Yadayim Tchilos. Back up. Do we ever see that Yadayim can become Tchilos? That hands can have the status of a Rishon Latuma when the rest of the body is not tamei? Obviously, when the rest of the body is tamei, hands are tamei just like the rest of the body. But is it possible that hands alone have the status of a Rishon Latuma? In Titania Hichnis Yadav Labei Samenuga, if he puts his hands into the Bayis Samenuga, Yadav Tchilos, different Rabbi Kiva, then his hands, according to Rabbi Kiva, his hands become Tchilos, the Chachamim Ormam Yadav Shnios, and the Chachamim say, no, his hands only become a Sheni Latuma. Now, what is this case talking about? The Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that Bia B'mixas Lo Shma Bia. Everybody agrees that Bia B'mixas is not considered to be bias. In other words, when the guy sticks his hands into the bias aminuga Everybody agrees that it's not as if his whole body is standing in the bayis hamenuga. Over here, we're arguing about whether we should make a gzera on the status that his yados attain because of the tumma that his body would attain if he actually walked fully into the bayis hamenuga. Marasavar yadav kegufa shavina rabbanan. One man diyama Rabbi Kiva holds that we make his hands like the rest of his body, and therefore his hands are going to be tchilos. And umar savar yadayim ki yadayim di alma shavina rabbanan. And the chachamim will say no, his hands have the status of tuma that hands always have, and that's only as a sheni, but not as a rishon. Tosfos points out when we say over here everybody agrees bia b'miktash lo shma bia, that means in all areas except for the base of mikdash. In the base of mikdash, there is a machlokas as to whether bia b'miktash is shme bia or not, and that's because it says. But that's only by the mikdash because it says b'chol kodesh lo siga. So there's a special pasuk. But ordinarily speaking, everybody holds that bia b'miktash is lo shma bia. So what are we talking about? We're talking about where the yadayim were a rishon l'tuma, and we're holding like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that yadayim have the ability to become a rishon l'tuma. Says the Gemara, why don't you then tell me that we're holding like Rabbi Akiva? So says the Gemara, v'lukma k'Rabbi Akiva. So why don't we just say that we're holding like Rabbi Akiva? Demar yodav tchilas havyan, who says that the yadayim are a rishon. Why are you using this cryptic formulation of, oh, the Mishnah is talking about Chulin, and it's talking like the Mandi Amar, who says that Yadayim are Tchilos. We know the Mandi Amar says that Yadayim are Tchilos. It's Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Kika Dilma, Kika Marabi Akiva, Hanimi Libitruma Vakachim, the Chamira. Maybe Rabbi Akiva holds a sheet only by Truma and Kachim, which is Chamer. Ava Lechulin, Shnias Avian, that, however, by Chulin, maybe they would only be, maybe they would only be shnios, and therefore Rashi says, therefore we hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and not like Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught us explicitly further up on the daf that Yadayim can become tchilos even for chulin. So says the Gemara, Vilahavin Nami Shnios, Tashamina Leila Rabbi Akiva, Damar Shenios, Shlishi Bechulin. Maybe they're regular Shnios, maybe the Yadayim are Shnios, and we're holding like Rabbi Akiva, who holds that a Sheni can make a Shlishi by Chulin. Zitnan, Bo Bayom Darish Rabbi Akiva, that on that day Rabbi Akiva Darshin. What does it mean, Bo Bayom? Rashi points out about 6-7 lines into the wide lines. Bo Bayom, it's Yom Sheminu Es Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah Nasi. It's a day that they appointed Rabbi Lazar Ben Azariah as the Nasi. Bechalecha, the Tani, Bo Bayom, and every time where it says Boba Yama was that day. Okay, now, what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about here the Kol Klei Cheres. It's talking about an earthenware vessel, and Rashi again points out that over here we're talking about Sheretz Shenafal Avir Tanur, that we're talking about a Sheretz that falls onto the airspace of a Tanur, Vavehu Rishon, Vatanur, Vatama, so now it's a Rishon Latuma, Vatanur Metame Masha Betocho, and the Tanur is Metame, whatever's in it, Vave Sheni, so whatever's in the Tanur is a Sheni Latuma, Vichsiv Yitma, Umashma Yitame Alma of Etshlishi. And now it says whatever's in the Tanur is Yitma, but Yitma doesn't only mean Tame. Yitma also means it has the ability to be Matame Acherim. It has the ability to be Matame other things. So if what's in the oven is a Sheni and has the ability to be Matame other things, obviously it has the ability to make a Shlishi. So says the Gemara. So back in the Gemara, So it's mashma that the kikar, which is in the oven, which is a sheni, and Rashi points out, we assume that there are always kikaros in their ovens. So it has the ability to make a shlishi by chulin. Says the Gemara, Dilma hani mili b'tuma deraisa avol m'drabanan lo. No, we can't hold like this, because Rabbi Akiva maybe holds that the sheni is able to make a shlishi by yatuma deraisa. What was the derivation of this tuma? The derivation of this tuma was a sheretz. Tuma sheretz is daraisa. So by tuma sheretz, which is a daraisa rishon, maybe that can make a sheni, and the sheni can make a shlishi by chulin. However, by tumas yadayim, which is entirely a concept that's a drabonan halacha, maybe the sheni would not have the ability to make a shlishi, and therefore we cannot say that the Mishnah is holding like Rabbi Akiva. So we'll stop here. Tomorrow the rabbi will pick up, and the Gemara is going to discuss other potential reasons as to why we might be talking about chulin and worried about the sheni making a shlishi even by chulin.